Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, November 6th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho Fish and Game reports wolf predation down in Idaho on cattle. WSU's accreditation of an anti-transgender medical group has caused Elson Floyd School of Medicine to pause some courses mid-semester. And judge in quadruple murderer Brian Koberger's case says Koberger received government money while in jail awaiting trial. We'll have details on these stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Legislature's Department of Government Efficiency Task Force has released a preliminary list of agencies, departments, and commissions they believe the legislature should consider eliminating, combining, or consolidating. The list targets 70 state programs and agencies. The category of legislative ideas has a list that suggests eliminating the Idaho Board of Tax Appeals, merging or eliminating the Idaho Commission on Libraries, merging or eliminating the Idaho Commission on Hispanic Affairs, merging or eliminating the Idaho Commission on the Arts, merging the Idaho Department of Finance into the Idaho Department of Insurance, resizing the Idaho Department of Commerce, moving wildfire responsibilities away from the Idaho Department of Lands and giving them to the Idaho Office of Emergency Management. The list of commissions, departments, and programs, which the DOJ task force says needs further review, contains the following: the Idaho School for the Deaf and Blind, Idaho Public Television, Serve Idaho, the Governor's Commission on Service and Volunteerism, Lake Ponderé Basin Commission, the Idaho Women's Commission, the Idaho Division of Veterans Services, the Idaho Veterans Affairs Commission, the Idaho Medal of Honor Commission, the Office of Species Conservation, the Idaho Criminal Justice Commission, the Wolf Depredation Control Board, the Division of Career Technical Education, and the Idaho Professional Standards Commission, which investigates whether teachers have violated Idaho law. The Idaho Capital Sun reports DOJ Task Force member Republican Representative Jeff Ehlers of Meridian said the process to implement the suggestions may take years, and some of the government programs on the list may never be cut or eliminated. He said some action by the legislature may merely ensure the programs and personnel are adhering to their original missions as written into Idaho law and administrative rules. The Elson S. Floyd College of Medicine at Washington State University has paused online classes provided by the anti-transgender medical group called the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine, pending a compliance review. The School of Medicine's accreditation of the continuing medical education coursework affiliated with the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine has caused an uproar. Critics say the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine gives the appearance of legitimacy, and healthcare providers who want to enhance their practice with transgender care may be misdirected by propaganda from the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine. Evan Urquhart, a science journalist and founder of Assigned Media, said, "There's an issue group that has a position on transgender health care. Whatever they do serves a particular agenda. It's not about an openness to evidence, to the spirit of scientific exploration. They advocate against gender-affirming care using misinformation." The Daily Evergreen reports WSU spokesperson Pam Scott said the university is working to ensure the courses comply with national accreditation standards. The Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, the organization responsible for accrediting, has opened a compliance inquiry. WSU gave permission in June to run the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine program online in October. The classes were free and included 7 modules. The Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine is a nonprofit organization that opposes gender-affirming care for transgender youth and engages in political lobbying. It is affiliated with anti-LGBTQ plus groups and has been designated as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. The organization disagrees with the label, saying its work advances evidence-based medicine in transgender youth. Idaho legislators cited the nonprofit when passing a discrimination bill in 2020, which took away transgender people's rights to change their gender markers on birth certificates. The online news site Erin in the Morning reports the Society for Evidence-Based Medicine's curriculum supports conversion therapy tactics and presents screeds against trans people's medical self-determination as sound science. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson announced yesterday the state had submitted an application for the Federal Rural Health Transformation Program, seeking $1 billion in funds to support a 5-year bipartisan plan for rural health care in Washington. Washington's $1 billion investment plan for the Rural Health Transformation Program, led by the state's health care authority, would be distributed in equal $200 million installments across 5 years, supporting initiatives such as hospital infrastructure, technology improvements, and improving maternal health care in rural communities. Governor Ferguson has committed 10% of any funding awarded to the state to support Indian health care providers, which serve both Native and non-Native patients in the state's most rural areas. The so-called Big Beautiful Bill that congressional Republicans approved in July included a total of $50 billion for the Rural Health Transformation Program. The money is meant to offset some of the expected damage to rural hospitals from the law's steep cuts in Medicaid. Ferguson said in a press release, "Rural Washington boasts strong communities, robust agriculture, and some of the most beautiful landscapes in the world. In order to sustain this way of life, we must support a strong rural health care system. Our bipartisan plan will help modernize and strengthen this crucial resource." Of Washington's 39 counties, 29 of them are considered rural. More than 1 million residents live in those counties. The proposal was developed with the input from nearly 300 stakeholders, including tribal representatives and legislative leaders. If approved, the funding will benefit over 1 million residents in rural areas, improving access to quality health care services and supporting the sustainability of rural health systems. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is expected to make a decision on the proposal by December 31st.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors, including Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tie-dye-everything.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Hungadunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Hungadunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
As President Donald Trump makes good on campaign promises to deport immigrants living in Washington and across the U.S. who are without proper documentation, a new report spotlights the economic risks to Social Security and other programs that rely on payroll tax revenues. As America's baby boomers continue to retire, the number of U.S.-born workers is expected to dramatically decrease over the next decade. An estimated 344,000 people are undocumented in Washington, and in 2022, they paid nearly $1 billion in state and local taxes. Report author Josh Bivens says historically normal GDP growth rates will be impossible to maintain without immigrant workers.
It does make things like Social Security and Medicare a little harder to sustain. If we have a steady flow of younger immigrant workers coming in, that just makes it much easier to sustain those really important social insurance programs.
Medicare and Social Security are largely funded by today's workers, regardless of their immigration status, through payroll taxes. According to Social Security trustees, the program will not be able to pay full benefits after 2036. The Trump administration says it hopes to deport 1 million immigrants each year to secure borders and jobs for U.S.-born workers. More than 1.2 million immigrants disappeared from the U.S. labor force in the first half of 2025, according to Pew Research Center analysis. Increases in immigration actually lead to more jobs overall and higher wages for U.S.-born workers, according to the National Bureau of Economic Research. Bivens warns that the loss of immigrant workers will also hurt U.S.-born workers.
The really immigrant-heavy part of residential construction is maybe the framing and digging out the foundation. Well, if that doesn't get done, the part of construction that is more intensive in the use of U.S.-born workers, like maybe the electrician and the plumber, they can't do their work.
Immigrants make up nearly 20% of the overall U.S. workforce. Nearly half of farming, fishing, and home health care is done by immigrants. 30% of all construction workers and 24% of service industry workers are immigrants. For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet.
Idaho Fish and Game Director Jim Fredericks told a committee of state legislators Monday the number of cattle and sheep wolves kill is decreasing, according to figures from the compensation program to reimburse livestock producers. The plan is to provide a fair market value to producers for livestock predators kill. According to the Idaho Capital Sun, at Monday's meeting of the legislature's Natural Resources Interim Committee, Fredericks briefed lawmakers on predators, including grizzly bears and wolves. Fredericks said so far this year, investigators have confirmed the deaths of 23 cattle, 43 sheep, and a dog, probably or possibly killed by wolves, a significant decrease from 2022, when the Idaho Fish and Game Department reported the deaths of 84 cattle and 192 sheep killed by wolves. Frederick said, "I will say that depredations have continued to decline in recent years, not that it's still not significant in some areas and for some producers, but we have seen a decline in wolf depredations recently." The 2025 depredation numbers are a tiny fraction of the total livestock population in Idaho. Idaho livestock numbers include about 2.5 million cattle and 235,000 sheep and lambs. Frederick said in some cases, investigators may never know how cattle or sheep died or might not ever be called to investigate. He said, "That does not mean those were the only animals that were killed by wolves. Those were the ones that we were able to have that determination." According to the publication, the compensation program reimburses ranchers and livestock producers at a fair market value for the depredation losses by wolves and grizzly bears. Between 2014 and 2022, the compensation fund paid out on verified livestock losses more than $687,000 to 299 livestock producers in Idaho. Brian Koberger's trial judge, Stephen Hippler, says Koberger received money from the public while he was in jail. In Ada County District Court yesterday, Hippler said the amount Koberger has received has reached into the five figures. According to the Daily News, Wednesday's hearing concentrated on whether Koberger should pay more restitution for funeral expenses of the four murdered University of Idaho students. Specifically, prosecuting attorneys are requesting money for urns to hold the victims' remains, amounting to $1,420 for the Gonsalves family and $1,587 for Karen Laramie, Madison Mogan's mother. Defense lawyer Alyssa Massath said her client does not have the ability to pay money while incarcerated on four consecutive life in prison sentences. However, Latah County Prosecutor Bill Thompson said Koberger has already received a significant amount of money from the public. Hippler said the amount was five figures. According to Idaho code, the treasurer's office may collect any money a convict receives from public sources and distribute the money to the victims' families. Hippler said that may not prevent Koberger's family from collecting profits from a book or movie deal. Thompson said his office is not in a position to give an opinion on whether state code permits Koberger's family to collect the funds. He said the initial plan was to argue for more restitution for travel expenses for the victims' families. Thompson said this was based on a misunderstanding about reimbursements over the state's Crime Victims Compensation Fund to the families. Thompson said his office is now advocating for extra restitution for funeral expenses. According to court documents, several GoFundMe campaigns have provided thousands of dollars to cover travel expenses for the families. Judge Hippler said he will take the matter into consideration. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. 100% chance of rain tonight, mainly after 7 p.m. Snow level 7,300 feet, lowering to 4,900 feet after midnight, low 39. Southeast winds 5 to 10, becoming southwest 10 to 15 after midnight, gusts up to 30 miles an hour, between a quarter and a half inch of rain possible. 30% chance of showers tomorrow, mainly before 7 a.m. Snow level 4,200 feet, mostly sunny, high 48. Breezy west winds 15 to 20, gusts up to 30. Partly cloudy Friday night, low 29. Mostly sunny Saturday, high 49. Mostly cloudy, low 33 Saturday night. And partly sunny, high 53 on Sunday. Currently 46 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option, and there's a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach and Brenda Cox assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Coming up, Flashpoints, and at 7:30, Appearing Locally, where we feature music from artists that are appearing in the Moscow-Pullman area. Stay tuned for more.